Longtime sports writer in the city of Winnipeg, and now part of the Sportsnet family. He is he's an old friend. He's a good friend. He's Ken Wiebe. Kenneth, good morning. How are you?
Excellent, Boom. Great to be reunited here on the airwaves.
It feels good, doesn't it? Yeah, it's been too long. But you were part of the other empire there for a while, so I didn't know. You know, there's things we can do and there's things we can't do. So it's good to have you on board.
Great to be on board. It's a tremendous pleasure.
See, a lot of people talk about Chris Cuthbert leaving TSN for Sportsnet. I mean, it pales in comparison to the Ken Wiebe edition.
Right? Well, we're on a PTO right now, but we're going to do our best to extend that. That's for sure.
The PTO. Well, so far so good. I mean, it's good. I appreciate it. So what has been your situation? Are you watching from afar? Are you going to be because you're traveling, right? You are going to go and cover this series, or you already are covering this series?
Yeah, I got the Flames and the Jets games from the couch here in Winnipeg, but heading to Edmonton tonight, and we'll be in that bubble city as long as the Jets are still standing.
Yeah, that's awesome, right? When you get that tap on the shoulder that you're heading in.
Oh, tremendous! Yeah, I mean, it's summer hockey. We're not used to summer hockey, at least not this type of summer hockey, but. And what has been an extraordinary and bizarre year in a lot of fronts, it's going to be remarkable to be in the building and to see what the atmosphere is like. I mean, the games on TV have been done very well, but, you know, the fact that piping in some of the noise, you just can't really get the real feeling of what it's going to be like inside a building with absolutely no fans.
If we look on paper, there's not much in terms of separation. 80 points to 79, 37 wins to 36. They played each other once. It went to overtime in Regina. The one big story, obviously, going back from a year ago till now, the story for the Jets, I guess, in this season, as weird as it's been, has been trying to rebuild on the fly the blue line. How has it been? I guess talk about the job that Cheveldayoff has done, because you lose Byfuglien and you lose Trouba. You lose Myers. No team sustained that kind of departure in one off season. What about the additions, and who has maybe surpassed expectations, or maybe who hasn't lived up to the expectations back there?
Yeah, great question. And we can't ignore Ben Sherratt either, who's had an outstanding year with the Montreal Canadiens, also on that left side. So, yeah, I mean, Neil Pionk was a guy that a lot of people, when the trade was announced last June to the New York Rangers, were Neil who was the response around these parts. I was fortunate to get a little intel from outside the organization suggesting that Neil was going to be a good fit. But I don't think a lot of people projected a 45-point career high production outing from Neil Pionk. And the bigger part of that equation would be he was a lot better defensively than maybe some people suspected. So, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on Josh Morrissey, the Calgary product here this year. Lost his defense partner. Then Dustin Byfuglien departs. He signs a new big ticket that kicks in next year. He's made an 8-year commitment. Became an alternate captain. By his own admission, his season was a little bit uneven at times, but Josh really found himself in the second half of the season. And he's been, I think, the best player in the Jets camp. So I think that Josh Morrissey has done a good job of keeping things afloat and then really finding an elite level. And he's going to have to be at that elite level because he's going to be seeing a lot of the Johnny Gaudreau line there in these playoffs, I believe. Dylan DeMello has been a great quiet addition on the back end. Similar to Calgary, and picking up a little bit of depth in Forbert and Gustafson. DeMello is a little bit more of a quiet player, doesn't get a lot of points, but he makes his partner better. He's always in the right position, makes all the right reads, moves the puck well. And then from there, Dmitry Kulikov's had a steady year, and Tucker Pullman, now that he's on the third pairing instead of the top pairing, the brother of the new Flames prospect, Colton Pullman, he's really kind of stabilized on that third pairing with Nathan Beaulieu. So although the Jets' defense is definitely under the microscope in this series, I don't think they're as bad as some people on the outside may be projecting them to be. But, I mean, now you got to show it when the bright lights are on.
Well, and I'm guilty of, certainly with the Pionk addition, you go from Trouba to Pionk, and that feels like you've fallen from a mountaintop. But 45 points, there's in a shortened season, you need to be a special player regardless of who you're playing with or in what situation to put up those kind of numbers. Let's talk about the power play, because we've looked at it. Obviously, this year, middle of the pack in terms of the power play. But you go back a couple of years, and this is a Jets team that had a number 4 and a number 5 ranked power play. Is it just the the deletion of Trouba or Bufflin on the back end, or what's contributed to the drop in the power play?
Yeah, it's interesting, Boom. I mean, they tried a couple of different variations, then went back to Old Faithful with the four right-hand shots. I mean, it's funny. We just talked about Pionk. Pionk had 25 points on the power play, which led the Jets. But the fact that they don't have the big shot threat at the top with Dustin Bufflin primarily, and then with Trouba a little bit as well, did certainly contribute. I would also say one thing for all people to watch in the series, Patrick Laine, that one-timer Ovechkin slot spot, the pass between Pionk and Laine has not been crisp enough. I think it's given both the defensemen time to get over to block and also the goaltenders a little bit more time to get over and get into position to stop that one-timer, which had been absolutely lethal for Laine in his first 3 years in the league. So they haven't taken away the weapon entirely, but that's something that they need to get a little crispier on, I would say. I mean, Blake Wheeler is still the primary facilitator. He's still one of the best playmakers in the NHL on that half wall. The Jets still do have Mark Scheifele in that high slot. So if you take away Line A, you run the risk of leaving Scheifele wide open in the high slot. And then Kyle Connor, who's continuing to emerge as an elite goal scorer, Boom. I mean, 31, 34, now 38 goals, trending for 40-plus this year. He's another one of those weapons that it sounds ridiculous to say he's an under-the-radar weapon when you talk about the Jets. But when you talk about Scheifele and Line A, and sometimes Kyle Connor gets left under the radar. So the weaponry is still there on the power play, but I didn't think it was very good against the Canucks the other night. Again, having said that, it was 4.5 months between games, yeah. And we're not being overly critical, but it's something that the Jets need to be better at. They were better in the second half with the man advantage. And on the flip side, their penalty kill was absolutely horrendous early in the year, just over 50% for a while, but they were one of the best penalty kills in the NHL after January 1st. So I'm with you. Special teams, definitely a factor in the series between these two teams that are so evenly matched.
Connor's such an intriguing player because you're right. When you talk Winnipeg Jets and you talk about firepower, he's probably the fifth guy you might think of after Scheifele, Wheeler, Laine, and Ehlers. But to look at him, I would guess in street clothes, you'd never guess that he's a goal-scoring threat. He just, right? Like he doesn't fill out his jersey, but yet just a fearsome goal scorer, and that top line is one of the best in the league. Now, what about the second line? They bring Cody Eakin in to center the second line with Ehlers and Laine. They didn't have a whole lot of time to work on that, and I'm going to ask you about Ehlers because I know he left the exhibition game the other day. But what about this second line and how it gelled in a short amount of time?
Yeah, Boom, it's a great point. I mean, the Jets in the last 3 years have acquired a center at the deadline. Paul Stastny first, who worked incredibly well with those two. Then they had Kevin Hayes last year, whose results were quite mixed. Certainly wasn't the player he was this year in Philadelphia, and ended up last year series playoffs on the fourth line and didn't really work. It wasn't only his fault, but that really didn't mesh. Cody Eakin is a different player. He's not the same type of playmaker those two guys are, but he's a tenacious guy. He's an experienced guy. He's a streaky goal scorer. Had 21 last year. Down year a bit this year offensively. Dealt with some injuries, but he brings a little bit of sandpaper to the Jets. And they're not nearly as physical a team as they were a couple of years ago. Yes, Adam Lowry does lead the fray on that front, but he can fit in well with those guys. And in the four-game winning streak before the pause, that trio really clicked well. And I think it's going to be a line that's definitely going to be one that the Jets think that they might be able to find a matchup there, because I think that the Adam Lowry line is going to either go up against Backlund or Monahan, so that leaves Line A to go probably against the third line of Derek Ryan. So I mean, that could be an intriguing matchup for this series as well. And as far as Ehlers goes, Boom, I mean, I certainly raised an eyebrow when he got tangled up on the boards and left the game, and Twitter was kind of erupting. I suggested he was hobbling down the tunnel, and some people thought it was just a regular walk. But Paul Maurice did say it was 100% precautionary.
Yeah.
I would remind folks that at this time of year, even before the new injury and COVID rules were implemented, you can only take a coach's word at face value. Paul's a very honest person, but when it comes to injuries, the shroud of secrecy will be in full effect, I would imagine. But Maurice did say he expected Ehlers to be a full participant in practice. Unfortunately for us, we are not able to attend practices, so we'll have to take his word for it, because the Zoom availabilities are before practice. So, and there's no morning skate tomorrow to test things out. But, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue that'll be happening around 8:30 tomorrow, or 8 o'clock tomorrow. Which goalie's going to come out of the tunnel first for the Flames? Will Ehlers be out for the warm-up? It'll be one of those warm-ups that you better show up on time for, because there's a few answers to be had.
Ken Wiebe, covering the Winnipeg Jets, covering this series for Sportsnet, is our guest here on Boomer in the Morning. You kind of answered it for me, but in the best of five, the Jets are going to have last change for a couple of them, and I was wondering how Paul Maurice was going to deploy this team. In some ways, I think it's maybe a little bit overstated sometimes when it comes to line matching and that. You just throw your guys out there and have a go. But between the Scheifele, Connor, and Wheeler, then you got Eakin, Ehlers, and Line A, and then the Adam Lowry third line. That Lowry third line can give teams fits, and I wondered do you go and try and neutralize Johnny Gaudreau there? Because it seems like in the past, when you are physical and hard on that top line, you can, you know, you can control them, and then you take your lumps, or I guess go and roll the dice with what's left. How do you see it, I guess, in whatever games they have last change? How would you line it up?
Yeah, Boom. I mean, I think that Paul Maurice loves it. We'll see the full combo platter, I would say. Definitely, I think Paul Maurice has no problem going best on best. I think we will see some of Scheifele versus Monahan, but I'm with you. I think that they'd like the physical component that Adam Lowry line brings. The other part about the Lowry, Kopp, and Rozovic line, although they are the checking line, they do it in an unconventional fashion. Yes, they are very conscientious in their own end, but they are one of the old school cycle lines. They get a lot going in the offensive zone, and they force those offensive players to play in a position where they're not as comfortable in. I would say, with all due respect to Elias Lindholm, who I think is an excellent two-way player, but I think we'll see a combination platter. I do also think on the back end, I think that Morrissey and DeMello would get the primary matchup with the Monahan line, but Paul Maurice is also comfortable using Kulikov and Pionk in a shutdown role as well. So I'm with you. I think it's overstated at times, but the coaching matchup between Paul Maurice and Jeff Ward has that extra layer of intrigue for me, because they've never gone head-to-head on the bench before, which is crazy for two guys with that amount of experience. We know Jeff. I mean, I covered Jeff when he was back with the Hamilton Bulldogs a long time ago and had a lot of success at the American League level. So he's definitely a very capable coach. But, I mean, I think there's some pressure on Jeff Ward. Boom, you guys have been talking about it a lot. I mean, Dean Evason had the interim tag removed. Jeff Ward didn't. I mean, are we to read anything into that?
Yeah, I know.
Not necessarily. But, I mean, it's a huge series for both teams. You have two teams that went out with very early and disappointing exits last year. And I mean, I think it's a referendum on the Flames core, to be quite frank. Brad Treliving have some big decisions ahead, regardless of how this goes in the first round here. But I mean, the same can be said for the Jets on a lot of levels. I mean, 2 years ago, they went to the conference final. Last year, it was a first round exit. So there's two battle scarred teams, and which team is going to be able to rebound from that disappointment will be very interesting, because they both have some potential to make some noise if they can get some momentum in this early best of five.
I know you've been doing the homework getting ready for this series, so I'll throw two at you here before we let you go. When you look at the Flames and what you see in net, what's your spidey sense telling you about who starts tomorrow? And just give us a little bit on Hellebuck. You've watched his entire career. What is it about him that has him the favorite to win the Vezina?
Yeah, for sure, Boom. I mean, starting in the Flames, I mean, I would have bet money on David Rittich, but those two goals in 33 seconds, I mean, what value do you place on that? I mean, I didn't see the camp. I don't know who was better there. I thought Talbot was shaky in the early going, but then he was absolutely outstanding for the remainder of the game. So, I mean, but Rittich's the guy who has the long-term deal and commitment. I mean, does that factor in? I'm going to bet Talbot, but I would not bet my mortgage on it. No doubt about that. As far as Hellebuck goes, just incredibly strong mentally. I mean, here's a guy who's incredibly driven. 2 years ago, was a finalist. Last year, had a bit of a step back with his numbers and his play. He had a lot of pressure on him after signing a big-ticket contract, but really came into this year determined and has been just absolutely the backbone and the rock of the Jets. He's so strong mentally. Really worked on the biomechanical elements of his game, and he looked incredibly sharp the other night. But I would say that he's going to have a different challenge than he's been used to. I absolutely love the way that Matthew Tkachuk played the other night against the Oilers, and There has been really no bad blood between those two franchises in terms of Tkachuk, except for that little fray with Brendan Lemieux back in Penticton at the Young Stars tournament. But I would imagine that Matthew Tkachuk is going to introduce himself to a lot of Winnipeg Jets, including Connor Hellebuyck, starting Saturday night.
Well, pack your mask and your hand sanitizer and get to Edmonton and enjoy the games. We'll check in with you next week. We're off on Monday, but by the time we get to work on Tuesday, we're going to know a lot more about this series and where it's headed. So safe travels. Good to talk to you again, man. We'll catch up next week, all right?
Thanks, Boom. Have a great long weekend, and I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
Me too. There you go. Ken Wiebe working this series for Sportsnet on his way to Edmonton tonight in advance of Game 1 tomorrow.